everyone, this is Daisy Gonzalez, Deputy Chancellor at the California Community College's Chancellor's Office, and you are listening to another episode of the California Community College's Chancellor's Office podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Leaders in the California Community College system play a critical role in preparing students for the future, and they fuel California's economic recovery. The California Community College system has many women leaders who drive change in support of the vision for success. At the center of the system's vision for success are six goals to significantly increase the number of students transferring to UC and CSU, increasing the number of students earning degrees and certificates, and completing career education programs leading to good-paying jobs, as well as reducing time to completion and eliminating achievement gaps once and for all. Today, we are celebrating Women's History Month with three distinguished guests, women leaders who are working to ensure that California Community College students from all backgrounds succeed in reaching their goals and improving their families and contributing to their communities. I want to welcome Trustee Linda Wall, President Pamela Luster, and President Denise Wissenhunt. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you, Daisy.
Hi.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So let me share a little bit about each of you just to make sure that everyone understands what a distinguished set of guests we have here today. First, let me introduce Trustee Linda Wall. Linda has served on the Board of Trustees for Pasadena City College since 2010. She has served in a number of leadership positions, serving our students statewide through multiple different roles. She most recently was the president of the California Community College Trustee Board, the CCCT. Linda also served in the Trustee Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Work Group, which aims to eliminate the equity gap in California's education system by 2027. She also held critical roles in statewide task forces for the League that cover a range of different areas, from workforce to financial aid reform to student success metrics. She's also the proud co-founder of the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus and the Women's Caucus, very relevant to today's podcast. I want to also welcome President Denise Wissenhunt, who serves as Grossmont College's president, most recently appointed president in July of 2021.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gonzalez. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And she has served our students, but primarily our students at San Diego City College in a number of roles since 2001. I'm going to cover these. And of course, you can remind us when we get to the podcast, Denise, but most recently, prior to her role as president of Grossmont College, she was the vice president of student services at San Diego City College. She was also the dean of student affairs, the dean of student development and matriculation, the associate dean of student services and outreach at the college. And before that, she has a longstanding expertise in transfer. She was a transfer center coordinator at the University of California, Merced, also holding roles in outreach at the University of California, San Diego. And then, of course, our third guest, President Pamela Luster. Welcome, Pamela.
Thank you, Daisy.
President Luster is the president of Mesa College, and she has been in this role since 2011. She is the immediate past president of the Chief Executive Officers of the California Community Colleges Board, and most recently was appointed to the American Association of Community Colleges Commission on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. She has served our students in statewide roles that also include the California Community College Athletics Association as the co-chair of the League's Affordability, Food, and Housing Task Force, and was appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom last year to the Basic Needs in Higher Education Task Force. And of course, I cannot miss this part. She's the proud co-founder of the Equity Avengers. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Daisy. It's wonderful to be here with everyone.
Yes, absolutely. Well, listen, I get to spend this time with some of my favorite women leaders in our system, and it is truly an honor. But I want other people to get to know you a little bit better, because you are really driving local implementations, local interventions to ensure that every student can succeed. And I handpicked each of you to spend this time with you. And I want to start off by asking you a question around what inspires you to be a leader. So I find that most individuals who want to help students, who do it with such an intention, right, with such a commitment, do it because of their own journey, their own educational journey. So in many ways, they do it because of their why. So let's start with this first question, and I'll head to you, President Luster, and ask, please share a little bit about your local efforts that have led to student success that are inspired by your own educational journey. And then from there, we'll head over to Trustee Linda Waugh and then President Denise Wissenhunt. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I could take up the rest of the podcast with this answer, but I won't. My personal why comes from something that just intrinsically stands out to me when people are not being heard, people are not being included, and we are in environments where we're not fully expanding the potential of the humans who seek us out in education. And it comes from probably one of my first jobs right out of school, and also my schooling, working with students with disabilities when I was at West Valley College, and watching the assumptions people would make about someone's intellect or capabilities around being educated. My own experience was, even though I had parents in my life who had gone to college, still feeling like I didn't belong in higher ed. And so I've always had that why of who are we missing? Whose voices aren't we hearing? And so the intensity that I bring to spaces is about making sure that everyone's included. And that can be annoying from time to time, but I think of it as good trouble.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Linda, what about you?
You know, so my personal why really starts with how I started in college, you know, and I see that our college students come from many different paths, you know, and not everyone fits a certain mold. So even when I started college, I started off as a traditional student, but I took a detour to start a family early on. And then when I returned to school, I found myself to be a single mother, and I could not go to school full time, even if I wanted to. But because I had two children I was supporting, I had to work full time, and I could never at that time qualify for any financial aid. There was no resources available for single parents. So that was a struggle. And then I majored in an area, technology, which at the time had almost no women in it, and you could not get into the field because you didn't have any experience. And so sort of pivotal point, there was a college professor who worked at the city of Los Angeles, and he formed an internship. And when an internship was offered to me, it was a great chance for me to get into the field. I had to work for $4 an hour for 2 years, but it allowed me to really set a course that helped me really move forward in a field that's been really good to me. So those are sort of my personal whys, and to be sensitive to how different all of our students are, and to understand that not everyone is going to come in the same flavor and the same mold.
That tells me so much about the advocacy that you do statewide, Linda, right? Everything from financial aid reform to work-based learning and those opportunities that are critical to our students' careers. Thank you for sharing that. Denise, what about you?
I would say, as I think about it, I moved from many years ago the idea that too much is given, much is required. And I would say that, you know, it really stems from my family's commitment to service. You know, much is given, not monetarily, but in terms of values. My father attended college. He was from Alabama at a time when African Americans were not allowed to pursue his field of study in the state. So the great state of Alabama would give them money to go somewhere else to be educated. And it is that sort of drive, that commitment to service that moves me. It is those discussions at the table with my family that really affirmed my belief and want to commit my life to make sure that people that look like me know that there are spaces for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way that I lead. That's really important to me. Those that look like me and others, women, you know, other groups, other communities, to recognize that there's space for them. And that's how I do it. Just last week, I had some students in a line and they were getting tacos in a line. We had a welcome back week. And I asked a group of women, you want to come sit in my chair? Because that's how I do it. I make them come sit in the chair. This is your chair. This is how I see this. See yourself in a way that oftentimes I didn't see myself. And so that's the way that I lead. much has been invested in me, and I think it is my obligation, it is my life core commitment to carry that forward.
I love that message, Denise. You know, oftentimes we hear, bring a chair to the table, and you're basically giving up your chair. That's a really powerful message and action that you have taken at the local level for your students. You know, it is Women's History Month, and I want to acknowledge that over 54% of the students that we serve are female students. And that was certainly data just from last year. And many of those women are first-generation college students, which means that they are making history, just like each of you, just like me, right? We are making history. I know that you have all held different roles where you have been the first and certainly occupy some of those roles today. What advice do you have for the next generation of women leaders coming after you? And Linda, I want to head to you first.
Yeah, well, I think my advice to women leaders is, you know, just be bold. I think many times we always think there's someone else who knows more than us. We always think there's someone who's smarter than us. But I do think that we have so many smart women at the table. I'm joined by two, including yourself, Dr. Gonzalez. But yeah, just be bold and not let people cow you, even though sometimes you may feel like you're not being heard. Just keep going forward. You know, keep raising your hand, for there's a lot of hidden opportunities. And sometimes we think, oh, that's not going to really come to anything. But what I've recently heard a number of young women in technology speak, and they raised their hand to do things that no one else wanted to do, which then ended up putting them in line for other really important jobs. So, you know, don't turn your back on any opportunities that may come before you. We all have those. So those would be my best. And also reach back, because somebody helped pull you forward. And, you know, reach back and help others and pull them forward too.
Thank you. What about you, Denise?
One of my favorite quotes is by Nelson Mandela, that it always seems impossible until it's done. Right? It always seems like there's just no way I'm gonna get this job. I mean, it's like, until you get it done. And, you know, I would say for women, I would say, you know, to be competent, do your homework. You know, you've heard that before. My dad would say you have to be, you know, work twice as hard. Oh, it's for women the same way too. 2-3 times as hard. You have to be competent. You have to be on game. You have to use your superpowers as a woman. I mean, we carry superpowers, right? We often tend to be more, well, men as well, but we tend to be intuitive. We have a certain grace in the way that we carry ourselves. Those are superpowers. Leverage your superpowers. And then above all, believe in you. Just believe in you when others don't believe in you. You just got to find that spot inside of you that you can do this. So always believe in you.
Thank you, Denise. I love that. I definitely see that in the leadership, how you bring others to the table. And as you think about, you know, growing the next generation of community college leaders, I've seen you do that in your daily work. And certainly every time.
It takes one to know one, Dr. Gonzalez. You got that down.
Thank you. President Lester.
Yeah, I really was resonating with what Linda said about just having trust in yourself, that confidence. And people will often say, when did you know it was time to be president? And I said, well, lots of people told me I should. But we just sort of, I don't know how graceful we are in accepting those kinds of accolades. And we're like, well, there must be someone more qualified than we are there. Don't wait, right? Don't wait. You don't have to have a certain number of years of something. You don't. It's when you're ready to go. And then ask good questions of those around you about why they believe in you. Because you can't hear it often enough, right? Like, you're a good strategist, or whatever your things are, you know, really think about what that looks like to be in those positions. And then, as Vice President Kamala Harris says, don't be the last. Like, it's great to be the first, but be competent, be confident, build that culture and that climate where there is inclusion and we are pulling each other up and looking back and saying, you know, come with me, so that the next time it's not as hard for someone to come behind you and be seen as that relevant, confident woman in the job.
Thank you for sharing that. I resonate a lot with what you just shared around, you may be the first, but your job is to make sure that you are not the last. And I see all of you nodding your heads. For those who are listening, we actually have the privilege of seeing each other via Zoom. I want to ask you a final question, but before I head there, I feel the urge to ask you a question I didn't mean to ask, which is, what is your top pitch to get more women to become community college CEOs? And I have the pleasure of having a rock star group, right, that is thinking about growing the next generation of leaders. So what is that one sentence that you could, or question that you could give to a women leader in one of our campuses who has held many different roles? I'm thinking of you, Denise, right, who finally gets the courage to do it. How do we convince more women to become CEOs?
If I can say anything, I think that Dr. Lester was spot on, like thinking, I got to do this. I got to be dog catcher. I got to do 200 things to do this job. And it's like, really? No. I would say the hardest thing for me to do, and this is kind of, you know, sharing who I am, was to apply. To say to myself, I'm ready, and to write it out and to push in was like the hardest thing. But that's been the hardest thing my whole life. College applications, law school, can I do it? Like always questioning myself, but it's the apply. You've got to apply, apply, period. So I would say if you're thinking about it, turn it in. Turn the application in. Let someone else make that decision whether or not you're going to get the job. But don't eliminate yourself. And that, I think, traditionally is something that happens with women, some disenfranchised communities in particular, like not thinking I can do this. But when you do this, when you apply, when you put yourself in those positions, you open doors. And I can't say, I mean, I can tell you, you know, I've had this job for 8 months, but the conversations that I've had, particularly with women of color about this position, I can't tell you how many people have like, can I talk to you about this? You know, because they're ready to apply and they're not doing that. So don't hold people back. Apply.
Thank you. I love that. Pam or Linda, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I was thinking about, I was about 3 months into this incredible, wonderful job. I can sell it to anyone. I love this work. I was at one of our women's volleyball games, and I was sitting there in like a Mesa shirt or something, and someone who worked at the college that I hadn't yet met asked me if I needed anything. I said, no, I'm just here watching, you know, the women play, and, you know, I love sports, and so I want to be really supportive. And she said, well, what's your name? And so I said who I was, and I said, I'm the president. She goes, of the college? And so it was that moment, like, one, I had taken the time to like come to a women's volleyball game, to meet people. And what I would say is, this is the best job ever. You get to do so many different kinds of things. And our students need to see people like us in these leadership roles. They need us. Right? They need to see us in these roles, and we have to show up. And so I think it's just so critical. My pitch is, same as Denise, get your application in there. Look for places where when you're reading the mission statement and you're reading what that college is about, and you think that's my jam, then that's where you should apply. And if you're writing that letter of interest and you're not really excited, then stop writing it and look for a different job. So I would just say, if you're not excited in the process, and you will be, right? You will be. You start to think about, oh, I could do this and I could do that. It has been the pinnacle and joy of my life to do this job. From a professional perspective, it has fed my soul and continues to. And it will feed yours too if you find the right spot and you can do it. And ask us. Ask those of us that are out there. Mm. We'll mentor you all day long, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So yeah.
Linda, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think what Denise said really resonates with me. Many times I was the first woman in management in many of the areas I was in, the only woman at the table, and people would always ask me, you know, how did you get there? And I said, well, first of all, I applied for the job. So, you know, don't hold back. I mean, just apply. And the other thing I used to counsel, so I've mentored a lot of women, and one of the things I always counsel them, and when they tell me, well, you know, I'm not qualified. Look at how many other people are qualified. And I said, okay, well, think about it this way. Think about who's going to be applying for that job, because that's who you're going to be working for if you don't apply. And instantly people got it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just don't doubt yourself. Just go ahead and apply and be thoughtful, you know, pick the areas you really want to be in and then just go for it.
I love that. Well, thank you for humoring me. I didn't mean to ask the question, but what a good task to do as we're thinking about Women's History Month to lift up and to give mentorship through our podcast. Let's end with a really good question. I gave you some homework before this podcast. You know, it is Women's History Month, and we want to lift up female legends, role models in our lives. And so I asked you to bring a photo of a legend or a role model that you admire. And I want you to pull that out if you have it, or, you know, just have it in your mind. And I'm going to ask you a question. The question is this. I want you to describe the photo and just share one core leadership value that this woman leader taught you. So a leadership quality, a core value. And I'm going to go to Denise first.
Okay, thank you. The picture that I chose is my mother in one of her monumental octogenarian, because, you know, that's what we say, celebrations. And it really is, you know, I thought about her because she's her own corporation. The picture has pictures of her when she was 19 years old. It's all Team Patricia in my family. And so I chose my mother too, because she has 100% outcomes in college completion rates for her kids. She has, for her grandkids, she got one more left, but it's going to be 100% completion. Like, everyone in that picture has a degree, and it's so much has to do with her. So I would say one quality is that she is so dedicated. She is so dedicated. My mother, when she endeavors to do something, she is 150%, and she just goes like the Energizer Bunny. And so I say that my mother's, you know, one leadership quality is to be dedicated, to swim all in, 100%. Do as best you can. Don't get caught. My mother is closed mouth, don't get fed. Go for it. Do it. And that really embodies who she is and her values, who she is, her character, you know, is what makes her a phenomenal woman. And so that's why I chose my mother, Patricia Wissenhut, because she is an amazing woman.
Bravo. We celebrate you, Patricia. Thank you for gifting us Denise and all of the incredible work that you've done. Thank you for sharing that, Denise.
Thank you.
Let's go to President Lester.
So I chose my grandmother. Her name was Margaret Brown, and she had a degree from the University of Oregon in social work. She was a social worker, and not many women had a degree in the 1920s. It was a very big deal. My grandfather was a conductor for the Northern Pacific Railroad and saved every dime he had to make sure that he could send his little girl to college. My grandmother was a social worker during the Depression, and her job was in San Pedro, and there were lots of families that were living under bridges and in other sort of abutments out in under freeways, and it was her job to literally physically go out and pull them into different spaces. So that's the level of grit that my grandmother had for just fairness, inclusion, commitment to human beings. And that leadership quality of that indefatigable commitment to making sure that people are okay, whether you're a mom, a grandma, whatever that might be, just meant that she loved people. And she was also a truth teller. So you weren't going to hear about it in terms of if you'd done something you shouldn't have done. But just that unwavering commitment and love to humans and not judging them, but bringing them to where they needed to be to have full lives. And it was tough. And she really modeled that. She is the reason I went to college. The minute I got my bachelor's degree, both my grandparents said, so when's the master's start? You know, it's just that commitment to higher education, but just that commitment to human capacity is something that just lives in me every day.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Pam. Linda, what about you? Who did you bring to share with us?
Well, so being an elected trustee, I'm a little consumed by politics right now, and this is campaign season. I picked Hillary Clinton, and I tell you, I campaigned against 116 women in my congressional district to be the delegate for Hillary when she ran. Mm-hmm. And I came in first, so I was the named delegate. And I never thought in my lifetime I would see a woman rise to that level. And it was just so wonderful to be able to hear her speak. And it actually is the place where I met Chancellor Martha Garcia. She was also a Hillary delegate, and she and I happened to sit together at the convention in Philadelphia. But I have fought for affirmative action for women for many years throughout my career, and it was really just so wonderful for me to see this and to see the rise of women. You know, and today, even at that level, she then cut the path for many women to succeed. And today, even in LA City, we are seeing the first woman fire chief in LA. There's the first woman who is now applying for the sheriff, who's going to be running against the guys. So I really think that these are pioneers that help many of us who aspire to be in politics and in elected positions. This was really, she was very inspiring to me.
Thank you, Linda, for sharing that with us. You know, for me, it was truly an inspiration to be able to bring all three of you together, certainly for Women's History Month. So I just want to acknowledge that having the three of you here, you know, what I've learned from each of you as we think about lifting up those that you lifted up during this podcast, I want to lift you up because from you, Linda, I've learned throughout this journey that we serve to empower, always being inclusive. Pam, from you, I've learned anything is possible. Literally, bringing people together, anything is possible. And being able to meet Denise at the Aspen Institute and seeing her lead with grace. Never underestimate grace. It is strength. It is dangerous. So I want to thank all three of you for joining me to celebrate Women's History Month and for being you and for serving our students with compassion, with integrity. I know you give a lot out of your own personal life to serve our students. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gonzalez. And back at you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your
leadership. You're a great leader. Thank you for having me.
Right back at you, Dr. Gonzalez.
100%.
You inspire us every day.
Oh, thank you.
Even when we're coughing, you inspire us.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank our listeners. And let me just summarize our incredible time together. I want to thank you for sharing your inspirations, what drives you to do the important work of transformational change in our system. I want to thank you for sharing your core values as leaders. And I want to thank you for the advice that you shared with our listeners, certainly for women leaders in higher education. I'm going to close up our podcast and just say to our listeners, you have been listening to another episode of the California Community College's Chancellor's Office podcast. Thank you for joining us. Happy Women's History Month, and we will see you next time.
Be sure to join us for the next California Community College's podcast. This has been a California Community College's presentation.